What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
It has been 758 days since October 7th, 2023, over two full years of an escalated genocide. With American support, Israel has murdered well over 80,000 Palestinians, injured nearly 200,000 others, most of them women and children. An estimated 9,500 people are missing. Over 540 aid workers have been confirmed murdered. The ongoing siege has also caused a famine that has claimed the lives of nearly 500 people, including well near 200 children. We know from researchers outside of the Palestinian Health Ministry that these numbers are likely an undercount. Here on Law and Disorder, we've spent the majority of the Mondays of the last 2 years bringing you Palestine Post, where we push back on the Israeli and U.S. mainstream media campaign of disinformation in their attempts to justify a genocide. We begin our hour with Zahra Ballou, Executive Director of the Bay Area Office of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, or CARE. The FCC says, I gotta tell you, that KRSF recently honored me with the Voice of Truth Award. There was no monetary compensation. Good morning, sister.
Good morning. Good morning.
Zahra, in addition to the outright murdering of Palestinian people, there has been an ongoing and incredibly violent effort to silence anyone who expresses dissent. This has happened through the murdering of journalists, my colleagues, truth tellers, the arresting and disappearing of truth tellers, through media blackouts, so much more. There's just been an onslaught of attempting to silence the truth. Today, we are going to discuss the recent arrest and detention of British Muslim journalist Sami Hamdi. Thank you for joining. Who is Sami Hamdi? What does he write? Who does he write for?
Sami is a political analyst and a journalist who has been featured in written and digital content, video content, TV interviews for so many stations, I couldn't list them all here. What he has really taken up as a primary cause in the last 2 years is justice for the people of Gaza. He has toured the United States and the world advocating for justice for the people of Gaza, and specifically in the United States. A position that he has taken that has resonated so deeply is that America should put America first. Why are we sending billions of dollars in military aid to Israel when, in his own words, people in our country, in major cities, are unhoused because they can't afford rent and they can't afford health care. And yet we just keep writing a blank check to Israel. That's what he said. And he said it on BBC. He said it on Sky News. He has said it on Ivy League university campuses and at mosques across the country. I was myself surprised to learn this, but he has in the past advised our own State Department. Like, that is how renowned his credentials are.
You're on my Facebook feed often because that's where I get my information and my marching orders. But sometimes, I'm just scrolling. And so, I scrolled when you first posted about Sami and I didn't really dig deep. But then when I did, I was actually surprised to hear that he's British. I expected him to be, a resident of Palestine.
And Lebanese, like Tunisian.
Something.
Right. And no, he holds a British passport. He was in the United States on a valid visa. He had entered more than a week prior to his detention, and he's been here repeatedly over the last 2 years. He was, in an unusual turn of events, abducted in the domestic terminal at San Francisco International Airport after having already gone through TSA. So the United States did not deny him entry the first time he came in, nor the second time he came in. He had entered twice recently. They picked him up in the domestic terminal, and everybody is surprised that he's British. Let me tell you, it is not ordinary for us to have a British national in ICE detention. Fortunately or unfortunately, that is not how we treat the residents and nationals of our so-called allied countries. But the United States has demonstrated under the Trump administration that everyone is a deportation priority and everybody will be dehumanized and locked up.
So what says the UK here? What says Britain? Where they at?
The UK has been advocating for him as well. We have been in touch with the consulate, and immigration policies and procedures in the United States are opaque and near impossible to navigate, even for someone who is so widely known as Sammy, who has as robust a legal team as he has, and who has the British consulate advocating for him, he remains in detention. And I'll tell you, Kat, a lot of people have asked why, like, what's the basis the government has provided, but I can
Did you know that's what I was going to ask you next?
And everyone's like, what did he do? And it's like, nothing. In fact, nothing, right? He, and I'll say, like, this is a personal and organizational endorsement as well. He was traveling between, you mentioned you know, we were so honored to honor you. He was traveling from one of our galas in Sacramento to another gala in Tampa. So this is a British national traveling between events for a civil rights organization. He was here on a valid visa. And when he was approached by government agents last Sunday, so he's been in detention for a little over about 8 days now. He was told at that time, well, your visa was revoked. His visa had been revoked 2 days prior, and the first time he had heard of it was when he was being taken. That's it. That's all the government has said so far is you are out of status because we revoked your visa. No basis or explanation for revoking the visa. And again, no opportunity to cure that because if the first time you learn that your visa has been revoked is when you are being taken into custody, you can't fix it then.
I know you just said things are opaque, and also even if there are clear rules, this is not an administration that actually follows them. But is there a process that's supposed to happen if you're in the aside from arrest, if you're in the United States and you're on a visa and they've decided for whatever reason to revoke it, what is supposed to happen?
Well, this is the part that is uncharted territory. We haven't seen situations where people on valid visas in the United States having already entered, right? So he entered and he was given permission to stay until next April. So we have not seen prior, I have not, I'm sure it exists because prior administrations have done other horrible things in immigration, but it is not normal, was not normal that you would already be here. And then they would suddenly revoke your visa. If anything, visas were being revoked when people attempt to enter the country. So I got on the plane, I had a valid visa, I landed, and I was told you can't come in. That I've seen a lot of. But I'm moving around the United States. I've been here for a long time, and now you're going to revoke my visa and not tell me? No, that is brand new. And so there was nothing that he could do. And it wasn't as though they were going to give him an opportunity right then. Mind you, he's at the airport, right? So they're not giving him an opportunity to say, okay, well, why don't you just go book another British Airways flight right now? We'll stay with you until you get on the plane and then have a nice life. No, that wasn't an option. It was, we're going to handcuff him and he needs to come with us.
What we haven't touched on is that this is at the behest of Israel. Yes, is that what we understand?
So what's concerning is behest of Israel would be very concerning and not surprising. This appears to be at the behest of right-wing online voices like Laura Loomer and Amy Mackleberg. So what's like just so rewind a few months ago, you probably covered, and I know we've talked about all of these Palestinian children that are coming to the United States for life-saving medical treatment, right?
Yes.
So cute, adorable children. They're surviving a genocide. They're coming here to get treatment, so they can recover from the things our bombs did to them. And Laura Loomer goes online. She takes the videos of these cute children, and she says that, you know, that we need to stop issuing visas to people from Gaza using the children's faces. And the State Department complies and says, yeah, no more visas for people from
She
Gaza.
called them terrorists.
Right. And a couple of weeks later, they also close the visas for people from the West Bank. So that's what she's done thus far. Now, coming into last weekend, a couple of days prior to Sammy's abduction, Laura Loomer and another woman online, Amy Mackleberg, are targeting Sammy Hamdi, accusing him of all sorts of things, and then simultaneously saying good news is coming. So that's like Friday or so. Sunday morning, Sammy was abducted at about 7 a.m., Kat. Laura Loomer was the first person to tweet about it. Because, I mean, like when someone's getting detained, abducted, arrested, like we know this from experience at protests, right? But like also just other lived experiences, is there's no time to make a phone call. There's like in that instance, like maybe you get out one message, you get out two messages, but you can't hold a press conference between when they tell you you're coming with us and they're putting the cuffs on you and taking your phone away. So Sammy had gotten out a couple of messages. None of those people had broadcast it yet. Right? Like they're just trying to figure out what's going on. They're in touch with family. Like what do we do? Laura Loomer is the first to tweet about it. So for many of us, myself included, the first person I heard about Sammy's detention from was Laura Loomer. And so Israel, or Laura Loomer. It almost sounds as though, it appears as though Laura Loomer and Amy Mecklenburg told the government, we need you to do this. And for at least the second time now, the government complied.
So many thoughts moving through my head. So the first, like, I'm a CARE fan, right? Like, I'm someone who follows your work and uplifts. I didn't know there was a gala in Sacramento, right? So for me, I'm like, so are they, you know, you've been, you, the organization, targeted. These women are stalking the activity of CARE along with the people associated with CARE. That's the first thing that comes to my head. The second thing that comes to my head is these are not elected officials. These are not people that anybody in this country has said, please lead us. Yet they're in collusion with the State Department and with enough power to have civilians detained. And then the third one, and this is like me reaching a bit, as my brain sometimes do, right, through my organizer lens as I try to connect dots. The lobby, the film series, and people haven't seen it, go on YouTube, watch it. The film series, The Lobby, about the way Israel's comms networks and systems operate in this country would not surprise me if Israel, right, because they do, we know this, they stock universe, they stock, you know, and then they send teams to go, let's say a college campus is going to have an event, a pro-Palestinian event. The folks that are part of this Israeli comms network, Zionist comms network, well, they're stalking, they're watching all these feeds, and then they send a team. I'm saying this not to you, sir, for the listeners.
No, you're right.
They send a team to these campuses. Somehow a swastika ends up on a campus, right? And now we're talking about anti-Semitism instead of a genocide. And so they find people and they feed these networks. So in my head, I'm like, I wonder if this is like an evolved version of this network, which has been impacted by the truth telling that's happened the last 2 years. And they feed the information to these women, and then these women do what's done. Maybe that's total.
No. It's good. It's hard to say like conclusively what it is. I'll tell you one other player in the network though. And this like for me is part of the theory. So there's a group called Memory, and I forget what it stands for, but it's MEMRI, and they are like the godfathers of taking pro-Palestine video out of context and accusing the speaker of horrible things, right? And they stalk mosques, right? So like they will pull Friday sermon videos, they stalk public events. Many of us have been targeted by it. And even in 2021, when I was targeted, and the whole issue with Pioneers and Levi Strauss Foundation backing out under Israeli support, targeting all of us happened. That was a Memory video that was used, yes. And so there's a Memory video of Sammy speaking out about resistance and what Palestinians have gone through, not encouraging violence, to be clear, despite what the government will allege, but in fact, speaking out in support of self-determination. And so that's a Memory video, right? And so that video exists on the internet and is being used and pointed to by people who are now justifying Sammy's detention, which came at the behest of, at least we know, Laura Loomer and Amy Mecklenburg. Now, was it the government of Israel, or was it the Israel lobby? Was it Israel communication forces, or was it some combination of all of that, right? Because the other thing that the lobby does is the echo chamber, right? So they pick up a talking point and they repeat it and they repeat it and they repeat it until we can't tell the difference between what is real and what is their story. And so there's a lot going on here. And again, what's worrisome, and you know, one other thing we haven't said, Kat, is this is a civilian, this is a British national, this is a journalist. Right. And so the Committee to Protect Journalists has also like made a statement, you know, asking Secretary Rubio, like, clarify, like, what are we saying about the press? And so this is happening in a context where hundreds of journalists have been killed by Israel in Gaza on purpose, where Israel is not allowing the free press into Gaza to see what is happening and say what we want about Hamas. Hamas is like, yes, bring the press in. Like, let's see, right? Because when the press comes in and sunlight is brought in, we know that what Israel has been alleging, has alleged, is not true, right? Like, they can't, there's no evidence of it. And now, at the behest of pro-Israel right-wing online voices, a journalist is arrested in the United States. And the only thing the government has said thus far, and by the way, not in the filing, so in the filings and everything that they have submitted to the courts, to the immigration authorities, all they've said is that his visa was revoked. What they have said on social media is that he's pro this and he's pro that, and accusing him of saying some things, essentially, right? That's That's what we're allowed to do. That's what you and I have careers in, saying some things,
I mean,
right? And we're
that's the
blessed.
theory.
It's like one of the few last rights we have is we say things that is, right, our First Amendment protected rights, and that's what the government is targeting him for.
Zara, I don't know if you've witnessed this happening, but I'm wondering if you can talk to the listeners about what that experience, what you've heard from the people that you support, because Sammy isn't the first one. Like, what happens? I'm gonna take a point of privilege after that, and I'm gonna talk about a mini experience I had coming back from Denmark. But just paint a picture for us, because I don't know if people can understand what that moment is like. You going about your day, and then wham, what happens?
So Sammy was, right, like living his life. He was the keynote at an event in Sacramento. His friend, one of our community members, brings him to the airport Sunday morning, probably gets dropped off a little bit before 7 a.m. And all of us rushing through the airport trying to catch my flight, check my bags, do what I need to. He goes through TSA. So everything's fine. He goes through TSA and then he is quickly surrounded by a number of government officials who ask to confirm his identity, identify themselves, say your visa has been revoked and you need to come with us. Now, a lot of us may have seen videos of this, right? So this has been happening on streets. It's been happening outside of schools. And so, the airport is a little bit unusual, but that experience is similar. All of a sudden, right? And Sammy is fortunate enough that I think the agents may not have been masked. In some of these videos, remember, these people are being approached by masked agents who are using incredible force. And there's a lot of videos of like women being thrown to the ground and right, the scream of like, wait a second, am I being sexually assaulted? Like how do I know what's going on? And you immediately lose control of everything, right? So he is taken from the gate area to a government vehicle. At some point during that process, he is handcuffed and put in the back of a car. And he's driven to San Francisco. Now, he doesn't know where he's going either, right? Like, he is taken to ICE in San Francisco, where he is processed. Within 3 hours, right? And for listeners who are familiar with California geography, he goes from San Francisco International Airport to downtown San Francisco, where he is processed. And then he's put back in a car. He doesn't know where he's going, right? On his way to Golden State Annex in McFarland. It's a 5+ hour drive. So 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., goes to San Francisco and then is already put back in a car. Doesn't know where he's going, describes not knowing where he's going. Like, you're just under someone else's control. Now, I think he was able to make one phone call before they took the phone away from him, and maybe he sent some text messages, right? But he also has no contact, right? Like, he's nothing. So no phone. I don't think he's fed. I know it's not a comfortable ride. Like, most of us don't like being in the backseat of a car to begin with. Now imagine being in the backseat of a car that some government agent is driving without any regard for you, and you're cuffed. He's taken to the detention facility in McFarland, California. Whatever is on his body is taken from him. Any papers, his passport, he doesn't have his luggage. His luggage got on the plane and went to wherever he was going. He has nothing, no way of reaching the outside world. He gets settled in, and again, no phone calls, nothing. We at this point are now like, where is Sammy Hamdi, right? And we're using the ICE detainee locator to find him. I think later in the day, maybe he gets one phone call, but we drove up from Orange County to McFarland, Texas, McFarland, California, on Monday morning. So he was abducted at 7 a.m. The next time he sees a person he knows is Monday afternoon. Right. And he doesn't know we're coming either. We just had to show up and present ourselves as his attorneys. Now, in this time, remember, they are wearing jumpsuits. They are on a diet that the facility sets, on a schedule that the facility sets. It's cold. There are a lot of people in each room they're in. He's surrounded by other strangers. And Sammy has said, and something that has really resonated for me is that Sammy is one of the highest profile immigration detainees, and in fact, a political prisoner in California at the moment. There are upwards of 700 other people in that facility, Kat, and it is one of numerous detention facilities in California, and most of them do not have a robust legal team or access to the communications platforms that Sammy has. But everything, he hasn't seen his family. He doesn't know when he's going home. Everything is under strict control. Everything is monitored. In some other states, the facilities are no contact, by the way. So when you go in to visit them, you can't actually like hug them or shake their hands. California, at least as in my experience, is allowing like a welcome hug and that kind of thing. Everything is monitored. I asked yesterday about access to news. They get some occasional USA Today, nothing else. They don't have access to the internet. After you settle in, you can make phone calls and text messages, but let me tell you about text messages, 25 cents a text message. When was the last time you paid
Whoa.
25 cents a text message? That's wild,
And
right?
that would come out of your books, like there's commissary in the same way that like in regular concentration camp.
Exactly. And everything, right? So you want food that's not jail food? Commissary. Well, you have to have money to put in commissary, right? Like,
And is there halal stuff in commissary?
there is, to the best of my knowledge, no.
Well, I was being a
I know
little
that there, I know
facetious.
California is accommodating some halal diet, but my understanding is jail food is barely food, even if it's halal food, right? And so he's not being force-fed pork or anything of that sort, but his access to things he wants are is very limited. And there's like rules about this thing that like cat don't make sense. So when I go in as an attorney, I can take papers in, right? Family or friends go in, nothing. No papers. Family or friends go in, they can take coins in to buy him food from the vending machine. But because I get to take papers in, I don't get to take coins in. Like, how are people? And again, what strikes me is Sammy has said, and we agree, like, he is the most prominent. I don't know of any more prominent immigration detainee in California right now. But for every Sammy, there's hundreds of people who don't have a legal team or commissary money or text message money. And in many cases, remember, if they're families, I asked the lobby staff when I was trying to go in yesterday this, I said, for, you know, if I'm here and I'm detained and my family is also out of status, like you must be hearing from a lot of people who are scared to visit, right? Like if I'm undocumented, I'm going to walk into a detention facility to visit my undocumented partner. Like that's the kind of thing that breaks apart families. And the last thing I'll say, Kat, that we've seen a lot of is that particularly with these political detainees, is that they are picked up in one place and immediately shipped somewhere else, right? So our co-counsel has another client who went to three detention facilities in 24 hours between the East Coast and being taken to New Orleans, Louisiana, right? And so one of the things we did last week is we went to the courts and we said we need to protect Sammy's ability to stay in California while he fights this, right? And so we did get a temporary restraining order. The government cannot move him out of California because I don't want to be picked up by ICE anywhere. But if it had to be somewhere and I had to fight it in the courts, it's going to be California.
Two more questions, and then I'm going to go on to our comrade Rami, who's patiently waiting in the wings to talk to us about arms embargoes. So I was going to take a point of privilege. I'm going to say it real fast. So my dad makes this joke whenever I leave the country, and he's like, "Oh, so we're going to try this again? You're going to see if they let you in again?" And this is like he's making that joke since before this current moment, and I'm like, who am I? But I was coming back from Denmark, and I'm going through immigration, and my picture's not registering in the camera. There's a thing, camera, and you put your face in, y'all, and it's just, the guy's like, "Try again, try again, try again." So then we do this three times, and he says, "Go over there." So I go over there, and right, and then I hear my dad's words in my ears. I'm like, "Oh God!" So here we go. So I hand my passport to lady. She's so nice, sir. She said, "Where were you? How was your trip?" She's just talking, and she's looking at my passport and asking me all these questions. And I was on a writing retreat, like nothing to do political at all. I was being a playwright for a week in Denmark, of all places. So she's talking, 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 talking. I'm like, "All right, there's something wrong with the camera." And then it just flips, and she hands my passport to this guy behind her and says, "Her." And points at me. And this guy's like, "Come with me." So I start to walk. I'm walking towards a small room, and I stop. I was like, "This is wait." And nobody, right? Nobody know. So I asked the guy, I said, I stopped and I said, "Where are we going and why?" And this man looked at me and he said, "Move." Right? He said, "I don't know why. Move." So I did. I managed to get off one text message to my dude, right? Like, I don't know what's happening, but this is where I'm at. And then I got yelled at for my text message. And then you know me and my mouth. So I'm like, you're not allowed to phone. I said, but you're allowed to kidnap me. Like, what's happening? They leave me there. Then nobody talks to me for upwards of what I believe was about half an hour. They come back, they throw my passport at me and tell me I'm free to go. And I made a decision in that moment, right? I was like, I could make a point here, but I really just wanted to get home to my kid and my guy. So, I was like, this isn't the hill to die on. That hill is probably in the future. My point of telling that story is just to reinforce what you just said. All of the people that we don't know about that are being abducted and disappeared in this moment that have no voice, right? This is a phenomenon that is sweeping this country that we all should be concerned about, right? Like, and if it can be someone as prominent as Sammy, and y'all can't get him out, right? What happens to people, Zara? And then I'm gonna let you go. What happens if they don't get out? Like, what's gonna happen to Sammy if you can't get him out? Like, do we know? Like, he could be there for you. Like,
We're going to get him out. We are going
right
to
on.
get him out. We are putting
Inshallah.
all of the resources into this, inshallah. But what happens to people who don't get out, right? And Kat, the other thing about Sammy that's, privileges him is he has a country to go back to that we haven't bombed, right? Like imagine Pakistan, imagine Yemen, imagine Palestine, Syria, Afghanistan. We have a lot of clients from Afghanistan, right? Is we have bombed all of those countries. People can't get travel documents, right? Like they risk safety if they are sent back. And so those people, right, one in many, many cases cannot afford an attorney. And let me tell you, paying for removal defense on the private market, you're looking at minimum $15,000 upfront. That's the retainer that exists in some of these cases, right? And that's to start 15, 20. We had somebody that told us they were quoted 80,000, 30,000 upfront. Where are you going to get that money? So you can't get the money, right? You stay locked up. You keep fighting. And remember, we're in a government shutdown where even ICE is being fully transformed from within, right? And so people are getting fired. Judges are getting fired. Agents are getting fired, right? New folks are being brought in. Everything is slow. Dates get pushed out. If they can't find you, if they can't get you back to your country, they're going to send you to a third country where you have nothing. If they can get you back to your country, you're still risking all sorts of violence there in many instances or being separated permanently from your families, right? And so I'll give you a much lower profile example. I know of another case where somebody was picked up in March. It is November. They are still detained without a prospect on what is to come. And they want to stay. There's nowhere to go back to. It's months, months, right? Even if they are going to deport you, the question is when do you then get in line for the plane? Right? Like where the plane goes, yes, but when do you get in line for it? Right? And again, no money for commissary, unless you're going to work slave wages inside, right? It's not a good look. And what we know right now is that even with all of the budget issues at the national level, there's continually money being poured into ICE so they can build more detention facilities. I was hearing over the weekend on Democracy Now! That they are building capacity to hold thousands of more people. And the only way to build it fast, Kat, is tent camps.
Like Alligator Island. All right, Zara, I gotta move on. We will have you back. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for your work. And let us know how we can be of service.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.